Martin top and takes it the distance. 99 yards. Oh! James McKnight! Back out to Allen. His three-pointer.
Thompson blows it up. Scores! Number five for James Thompson.
Grand slam. George Springer.
Tarasi the pull-up. He's good. And the foul.
Walker down the lane. Drive, shoots.
Welcome back to another edition of Huskies in the Pros. I'm your host, Sam Doster, along with my co-host, Brian Dostler. Big thank you to everyone who's been listening, Buzzsprout, Spotify. Please be sure to like, share, comment, retweet. And we thank you for taking time to listen. A few topics that we're going to run through today. Going to be a little bit of a shorter show. George Springer chasing history. Matt Barnes, Crystal Dangerfield, Mariah Jefferson, not good news. They all suffer injuries. Azra Stevens out with an injury, back in. Maya Moore returning to Minnesota this weekend. And we're going to start at the college front that UConn is happy to have Cam Spencer in the fold.
Yeah, they sure are. It was kind of expected that Cam Spencer was going to end up at UConn. But after, we also thought, I forget the Towson kid's name, Nick, we thought he was going to be coming to stores as well. You would think that a couple gaping holes from a defending national championship team, you'd think they fill the holes a little bit quicker, but they were able to get Spencer, 40.5% three-point shooter in his four collegiate seasons. This will be his third school. Everyone's talking that he played at Rutgers. He only played there 1 year. His first 3 years were at Loyola, Maryland. But Sam, look, everyone's going crazy and saying that he's the replacement of Jordan Hawkins. Let's slow down the brakes there.
Yeah, we gotta chill on that big time. Like, come on.
There's a reason why Hawkins is a projected lottery pick. There's a reason why Hawkins had 109 three-pointers, second most in a single season program record, only behind Ray Allen. Cam Spencer's, from my research, Sam, didn't try to go to the draft, didn't test any waters.
And as I was going to say, Brian, there's a reason that Cam Spencer is heading to his third school. Not a knock on Cam Spencer at all, but there's a reason he's still playing college ball.
Yeah, and hopefully UConn gets him to the point where maybe he can be drafted next year, can get thrown in the G League maybe, have a professional career. But it is interesting, Sam, that Hawkins and Spencer are about an hour apart. Their hometowns in Maryland are about an hour apart. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is. You wonder how much crossover they had. I'm sure at some point they would have crossed over playing in their AAU careers, even though Spencer a bit older than Hawkins. Some bad news on the UConn front, Brian. We mentioned it off the top, but Mariah Jefferson ankle injury happened Wednesday night against the Dallas Wings. And Jefferson went down in that game, and you know, just a bad
break. Yeah, it was incidental contact. She was playing kind of off the ball defense in transition, and one body banged into the ball handler, who knocked into her and clipped her. Like, it didn't look great. I'm not gonna lie, it didn't look great. The good news was she did walk off on her own power. But she went straight to the locker room. This was 5 minutes into the game against the Wings. Her former team, the team that cut her last year after the first game of the regular season. So, you know, she was out for a bit of revenge there, and that quickly was squashed by this injury. We'll say she's day-to-day. I haven't seen anything as far as how long she could be out for. They do play again on Friday against the Wings again. So hope for the best for her, but tough luck there.
Yeah, and I was just doing a little poking around before the show, and still no updates on Jefferson. So hopefully not out too long. And we do want to mention Diana Taurasi, 19 points in that game, 7 of 23 from the floor. Not her best shooting night from 3, 2 of 14, 7 assists. And the Wings did win that game as the Mercury fall to 1-4.
Two of 14, Sam. Like, she can throw some stinkers. Like, she chucks.
Well, she's been around for a long time. She's got the ultimate green light, I think. I remember having a discussion with you, Brian, at the beginning of the UConn season about how Jordan Hawkins has, oh my God, he has the green light this year. And I think Taurasi has earned the mega green light throughout her career.
Surprising. They're 1-4. I mean, the Mercury weren't supposed to be necessarily great, but I don't know. Both her and Griner's scoring like 22 a game. Griner's DT's around 16, but they're 1-4. But speaking of ankles, Sam, Crystal Dangerfield, another hurt ankle for the Huskies. She suffered that earlier this week against the Connecticut Sun. So maybe some of you folks saw that live in person. She's also listed day to day, and her status for the game against the Mercury on Friday is TBD at this point.
Yeah, and she was off to a pretty good start. We've talked about it, how after she bounced around a lot last year, starting to find her footing, almost 9 points per game, shooting almost 47% from the field, and it started 5 out of 6 games this year for the Wings, playing 28 minutes per game. And, you know, this is a team that was already down some players due to injury. Diamond to Shields, expected to miss 3 months. So there was that real opportunity there for Dangerfield. So it's tough to see.
It is. And, so they signed Odyssey Sims for the rest of the season, picked up for the Baylor Guard,
correct, right?
Yep. Yeah, and I feel like we keep saying this every show, where she signed the multi-year deal, which she's been around the block a lot, as I guess a lot of these WNBA players are. But, you know, hopefully she'll able to get back out there soon. Hopefully we'll see both Jefferson and Dangerfield on Friday night. But it wasn't all bad news this week, Sam. Azaree Stevens, she returns to the lineup. She made her LA Sparks debut this past Tuesday. She missed the first 5 games of the season with a back injury. I noticed from Twitter she's very excited to get back out on the floor. 4 points, 2 of 8 from the field, three rebounds in 15 minutes, a 3-point loss to Kia Nurse's Storm. So the Storm picked up their first win of the season. This past offseason, Sparks general manager Karen Bryant said Stevens was their number one free agent priority, but it's good to have Stevens back in the lineup.
For sure. And shout out, big follower of the Twitter page.
She is. And WNBA champion, so brings that experience with over to LA with Kurt Miller. Sparks are sitting at 3-3. Maya Morse.
Would love to have you on the show.
Certainly. Maya Moore, returning to Minnesota. This is a pretty cool thing, Sam. You want to share the details here?
Yeah, it was one of those headlines that certainly catches your attention right after she stepped away, retired. And it's the 25th anniversary of the franchise, the Minnesota Lynx. Therefore, the team is celebrating this upcoming weekend, and they're going to have 19 players from the Lynx All 25 team that will be there for the festivities. Maya Moore, she will be in attendance, and that's great for Maya Moore, that's great for Minnesota, and it's great for basketball. What she did off the court is absolutely fantastic, but she's also, I think, very important to the women's basketball game and to basketball in general. So if she's going to be involved in any extent in basketball, I think that's a good thing for the sport.
Yeah, she ever since her book came out, she's been to UConn. She went back to UConn this past year, I believe.
She was at a game, I think.
And now returning to Minnesota, of course, she was a 2011 first overall pick. She won 4 WNBA championships there every other year from 2011 to 2017, 6-time WNBA All-Star. It's going to feel really good. Again, 19 of 25. Sylvia Foles, her number's going to be retired on Sunday. It seems like it's just going to be a jam-packed weekend in Minnesota. Sam, we're not sure if Renee Montgomery is going to be there, the former Lynx, who's won a couple of championships there as well. I was trying to find if she was, but could not find the information. But hopefully they'll show some of Maya Moore's highlights, because she's got a few that could fire up the Lynx crowd.
Yeah, and Brian, one of those highlights was in 2015 when she scored 40 points on the Mercury to send the Lynx to the 2015 finals, which, of course, they won their third of those 4 finals in those alternating years, 2011, 2013, 2015, 2017, as you mentioned. Then in those finals, she hit a 3-point buzzer beater in Indiana against the Fever to take game three. So, you know, just some more highlights.
That shot's in is the opener of our intro. That's the very first play.
It's a good one.
Another cool thing, the first 5,000 fans that show up on Friday will get a commemorative Lynx championship core piece. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. That's
more than, that's better than, that's more and probably better than a t-shirt.
For sure. And I mean, if you think about it, a lot of places, they'll charge you for that. I mean, of course, you're buying your ticket to get in, right? But like a lot of places will try to auction those off or make them available in other ways. So for the fans to get that's very cool.
People are trying to grab at the Gamble pieces as they're doing a renovation. I'm really curious what that's going to look like.
The floor?
Yeah.
As long as they...
As long as
they don't have any wonky colors, you know, like Memphis or anything like that, like as long as it's relatively traditional.
I don't really know what to expect. I guess I'm just kind of trusting that it's going to look fine. There's all, like, I also have nothing to really speculate on what it may look like. I don't know, just kind of cool after all this time it's getting literally a facelift. George Springer, Sam, on the cusp of history this past Friday. He hit his 54th career leadoff home run in a 3-0 win in New York against the Mets. And Springer is now second all time with the most leadoff career home runs. He's tied with Alfonso Soriano. So 54 career leadoff home runs, Sam. That's a lot.
That is a lot. It's and number one, Ricky Henderson with 81.
Which is insane.
Insane.
Unbreakable, I mean, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. If it's not, it's going to be really hard to break. Because as they say, records are meant to be broken. But
I mean, Springer, he's in year. He's
yeah, it's not going to be Springer. It's not going to be Springer. Right.
And I don't know who.
Just the value, just the value of getting that run up on the board so quickly. It's a nice weapon to have.
And some not so good news. Matt Barnes is headed to the IL. This past Friday, he injured, or really this past last Thursday, he injured his left hip. He gave up 5 runs, only got 1 out. So the Marlins knew something was up, and he has been placed on the IL.
Yeah, tough break for him. He had been throwing pretty well, only 2 runs in his last 13 appearances, stretching across 10 and 2/3 innings. So hopefully nothing too serious for Barnes, and he can get back out there, because remember, it was injuries that really derailed the tail end of his Red Sox career and threw him into a bit of a tailspin before figuring it out to some extent late last year. So hopefully nothing that'll affect him too much. And the Marlins playing pretty good ball, Bri.
Hey, Luis Arias, as long as he can keep hitting, I guess.
Can you? No. People are over here saying, does 400 matter anymore as an average? Like, are you kidding me? Of course it does.
Of course it matters. It's not going to happen.
No,
but he's not going to do it, but it's fun to follow on June 8th.
And if you're so focused on OBP, right? Like on base, that's a 400 OBP right there. Not even counting his walks. Like, get out of here with, does it matter anymore?
He got 2 hits yesterday, and his betting average still raised from 401 to 403.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's been a while since someone has gone this far into the season.
I saw it's like he has like 142 multi-hit games in his career and 128 strikeouts. that's a modern day Tony Gwynn, no?
Yeah. Put the ball in play, good things happen.
I mean, I'm not saying he's Tony Gwynn by any stretch of the imagination, but like that's what that says.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I don't know. Call me old school, but I like when guys put the ball in play. And we're going to wrap up this week's show with this week, Huskies in the Pros, June 10th, 2004, that much talked about Detroit Pistons team that won the NBA title. Richard Hamilton, game high 31 points in game 3 of the NBA Finals, helped the Pistons to an 88-68 victory. Hamilton, 11 of 12 from the floor, 2 of 4 from 3-point. Imagine only shooting as a wing, as a guard, 4 3-pointers.
I know. I when I was going through all these highlights for all these players and writing down their stats, that stood out to me the most, especially with Rip. Because obviously Ray would shoot the threes, Gordon as well, but Rittman, like,
you're just gonna mid-range you to death, right?
4 3-pointers, 31 points on 4 3-pointers is like unheard of if you're not a big man. But even the big man can step back and do that now. Yeah.
7 of 7 from the line, so quintessential Rip Hamilton game. And you know, the other thing that jumps out to me, they're 88-68 the score. That is such
That's the other thing too.
90s, early 2000s basketball game score.
They're all so low scoring. Jake Voskal, that was a play of the week a few shows ago. That's final was 88-86. It's crazy how much more offense there is in the game these days. Of course, the Pistons, they won those finals in 5 games against the Lakers.
Yeah, Rip Hamilton, obviously. He might be my favorite all-time men's UConn basketball player. It's always fun to take a trip down memory lane with him.
Well, it's a quicker show today, Sam, but that's going to do it. As next week, we're inching closer to the NBA and NHL drafts. We'll give our predictions, but we'll keep updating you on those things. I know I saw Sonogo; he got a workout with the Hawks. Some other football notes: Ian Swenson signed a contract with the Houston Texans. He's part of the 90-man roster there. But it's getting super close to that time of the year, man. Where it's been a while since we've had an exciting NBA draft to watch, but we will be up all night and hoping that all three of our guys get drafted.
Yeah, super excited to see where they go, when they go, who they go to. And I call me biased, but I don't know. It'd be hard for someone to pass up on Sonogo. He's got to go somewhere.
I saw somewhere he went 42. I don't know what team, but he was one of the Jonathan Cavone from ESPN. He was one of the guys that he was impressed with the most, that gained the most from the draft combine. So a couple impressive workouts can bring you a long way.
They can. I'm always amazed when workouts can help so much, because it's like, well, shouldn't the game film show that? But
I know.
As someone who has watched Sonogo and has, you know, I'm not a scout, not an expert, but we're fairly knowledgeable about basketball. As someone who's seen everything he can do.
See the growth of his game.
Yeah, but it was good to hear that, you know, that people maybe who hadn't watched him as closely and now could see what he did, all the things he does so well.
A few weeks ago, I was watching highlights of the first game of the year against Stonehill, or one of the first couple of games, and Sonogo made a move from the corner and drove and made the layup. And I think
drive.
Yeah, I think it was Fant that was like, oh, we haven't seen that before. And my head, I was just like, oh, right. Like, we hadn't seen that before in November of 2022. But by the time it got to January, February, March, early April of 2023, it was the norm.
Yeah, and I can't remember. It might have been the Final Four game, Brian, but it was one of the games during the NCAA tournament run. Obviously, he used that move throughout the season. I want to say it was the Miami game, but, you know, he hit those two early three-pointers, and I was sitting at my house watching the game and said, well, he's setting him up. Now he has him set up for that up fake. And sure enough, later in the game, he used the up fake and was able to score around the rim. I think it was the Miami game. Not 100% sure, but I know it was one of the games during the tournament run. And I know we'll talk about it more, and I'm kind of dragging on the show here, but he's a guy who's only played, what, 6, 7, 8 years of basketball?
Yeah, not that long.
He's going to keep improving. So hopefully somebody gives him a shot. Anyways, that will do it for us this week. More NBA draft predictions next week. I've been your co-host, Sam Dostler, along with Brian Dostler. This has been the Huskies in the Pros podcast.